I was so rudely interrupted earlier, so now I want to wish Happy Mother's Day to my mom, my grandma, my wife, Finn Balor's mom, and Stephanie McMahon, and nobody else.
Hey, what about my mom?
She doesn't even have the internet.
You guys do, she has WhatsApp.
She does not have WhatsApp.
I promise you, she has WhatsApp. Hey,
Happy Mother's Day, Sammy's mom.
Thank you, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Happy Mother's Day to everybody out there. Belated. It's time to talk Money in the Bank, and I couldn't be happier. I didn't do a regular intro this today because I wanted to be unique and all, you know, festive. I'm in a great mood because y'all watched it last night, right? It was fun. I actually had fun. That was the first time in a while. Like, I'm still smiling thinking about just all the little stuff from last night, and we haven't even got to that part yet. But I don't have to give you an introduction anymore. But how are you, Tisha?
I'm good.
Yeah, that's a throwback.
Wow.
What a callback.
Haven't heard that sound like in front of my name since when? January? Wow, okay.
It's after your name, but whatever.
No, anyway. it was before my name.
It was? Mm-hmm. I said, no, it wasn't.
Yes, you did.
It doesn't matter. Who cares?
It
doesn't matter.
Even the pre-show and the opening matches were freaking awesome. Let's just dive right into it, shall we?
Yeah, started off with my boy.
All right, so
should be the world
apparently
champion.
Cesaro and Sheamus are still friends.
Affiliated, right.
Because Cesaro decided, well, you swanton bomb my buddy. We gonna
I'm gonna take your finish too.
Right.
No, man.
It was a great match, though.
It was a good match, man. Cesaro does little things. I want to shout out a guy who asked the question. By the way, I did not check the email like you told me. Anyway, for a guy who asked the question a couple weeks ago. Pooh.
Why are you?
My homeboy. Thank you.
Why are you ahead in charge of the email?
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, the point I'm making is that he pointed out, like, something as simple as, like, smearing Jeff Hardy's paint, you know. Little things that Cesaro does as a heel and just as a great wrestler. He's just great. And here go another example. I was about to say it the other way, try to sound all sophisticated. No, here's another example of how good Cesaro is. I'm eating an orange while talking. So let's see. Oh, by the way, always nice to see the Swanton Bomb. Jeff Hardy, I'm worried. I don't know how long you're going to be able to keep doing it, but at least it didn't look as painful as it looked a few years ago. I remember he gave a couple Swanton bombs last year, and like he was just, not last year, but you know, to his last run. Mm-hmm. Remember when he had the back problems or whatever he was going through?
Mm-hmm.
He did not look like he enjoyed doing the Swanton bomb. But anyway, nice to see Jeff Hardy back. Nice to see that they got a little bit of continuity with Cesaro and being, I guess, you know, trying to help out his former partner. Who knows? We might get a bar reunion at some point. I don't know. Either way it goes. I can't wait to see what they do with Jeff versus Sheamus down the line. What's next?
Next, we're going to talk about the match that they lie to us so much, don't they? Before we get there, but we'll talk about their lie. So we had the New Day versus the Forgotten Sons versus Lucha House Party versus The Miz and Morrison.
About as good as I expected it to be. Another multi-man match with a lot of capable people in them. They did a great job of teasing that the Miz and Morrison were going to win the belts back.
Can we shout out like Grand Metalik and this whole change? Like he changed his mask. He's showing more skin. He done lost some weight.
They were not lying. He looked like Hoovy.
Yeah.
Corey Graves pointed out. I thought it was Hoovy too. I mean, Hoovy much smaller than Grand Metalik, but yeah, he looked just like Hoovy in the type of gear he was wearing and the mask design. But Hoover to Guerrero for all the you young heads who don't know him was a WCW luchador. Please do your research on Hoover. He's entertaining. The juice is entertaining. But anyway, he was entertaining. Well, he still works because they never stop. Nope. Wrestlers never stop.
They start young and they keep going.
Exactly. They never stop. But anyway, still great match. You know, I think the finish was that the Lucha House Party took finally. They dived on all the heels pretty much after Jackson Ryker got put out of the of a no disqualification match. Might I add, but it's fine. The ref made sure he. I don't care if it's, I literally heard the ref say, "I don't care if it's fatal four way." So I'm fine with that ejection because at least he was like, "I know I'm not supposed to eject you, but I said leave."
So you got to go.
So you go. That's
he like,
cool.
He was like, "I'm cool and all with you. What you sitting out here? Maybe pull a leg from under the rope. That's fine. But don't be touching nobody outside the ring.
No, if you're gonna pull that leg, don't let me see you doing it.
Like, exactly.
Right. But yeah, great match. Big E and my boy Kofi. It's unfortunately our guy who looked like Hoovy, who seemed to be making the making a nice change to his look and you know looking healthy. He took the pin, but hey. Shout out to Grand Metal League. I love the gear. Love the new look. And I honestly really want to see. I want them to, you know, give the Lucha House Party a chance. They are very, very talented in the ring. And it's insane to me how undervalued they are. You know, so can't wait to see what happens next in the tag division. We might end up in another multi-man tag match next pay-per-view. Backlash or whatever. Even though I don't know if Backlash is both brands. I don't know how they're doing this now. Is everything both? I know Money in the Bank is a both brand thing.
Yeah, everything. Yeah. So
everything can be double branded. Oh, yeah, they've been changed it, right?
Yeah.
Why am I going? Ooh, I feel like I lost my mind a little bit, huh? Oh, well, it doesn't matter. What's next?
Oh.
I'm just not used to Backlash being for both brands, I think. What are you finding out?
Jericho sent me so much bad news.
Okay. The audience have no clue who that is.
My sister. I'm sorry. My sister.
Thank you.
The Seinfeld actor Jerry Stiller passed away today.
That sucks to hear.
He was 92.
Don't know who he is.
You'll see. Like, look at the picture.
Yeah. I didn't watch Seinfeld. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Anyway.
Rest in peace.
All right,
like we talked, it's an older generation of people losing a lot of friends. So if you got grandparents or, you know, hold on tight to them, talk to them, and comfort them. I was just talking to my grandfather the other day, and he was just talking about how a lot of his friends is passing away right now. So think about your older generations and, you know, try to get in contact with them if you still have them, you know, especially on a weekend like, you know, Mother's Day weekend. So make sure you go talk to everybody and touch base. What's next?
All right. Next was the lie. So we were advertised R-Truth and MVP on the pre-show, but they bumped that up to the main card.
They made it a white lie, by the way. Because at least I've seen them lie a little bit worse than this. But at least MVP came out.
He did.
Came out there.
He did.
Okay, let's go.
But, you know, Bobby Lashley is a little upset.
I don't even know why he mad at Truth.
He just upset in general.
Well, he did get. He need to go beat up a ref. Oh, this is only gonna make it worse. Probably get fined.
He would definitely get fined.
Possibly suspended. Yeah, beat up on Truth. Oh yeah, I forgot. They desperate. They need that body. So no, they wouldn't suspend him. Right.
Yeah. Beat up on R-Truth after.
Well, hold on. I don't know. We'll get to it later. But I don't know if they need the bodies.
That's true.
After what happened.
That's true.
Oh, or never mind. Maybe they need bodies more than ever after what happened.
That's why they brought Truth back. See, Truth gave us a mini concert with his entrance.
Well, no, he's insane. He's insane. I don't know why he waiting on the what up chants. Oh, he asking WWE Universe what's up.
You R-Truth, right,
come
though.
On, man.
Michael Cole and Corey Graves could have said what's up for him.
They could have chanted.
If Byron
him,
was out there, he would have said what's up.
Somebody, like, please do something.
I don't know
for
why Corey and them was out there. That should have been Byron, Samoa Joe, and Thomas.
That's a fair point. Who was out there? That's what it was?
Yeah, it was Michael Cole.
Why would they do that on a Raw match?
They just didn't feel like switching them out.
I don't know. I don't remember.
I don't either. Maybe completely lied, but somebody should have told him what's up.
Yeah, I think Tom and them was there, but I don't quite remember. It was that short of a match. Either way it goes, Bobby Lashley. Did what he was supposed to do? Well, not really, because I didn't even know you could do this. Like, people could have been doing this for years. You mean tell me people could have just take your spot? Man, I wish anytime somebody have a title match, I just come, like last night, Self had a title match.
I think the other person has to agree.
Hey, Self, man, get out the way, man. I want to fight Drew for you.
I I think the other person has to agree.
Oh, come on.
You saw MVP. He said, all right. Oh, cool, yeah.
MVP took the night off.
He's like, I'm going to go and hit the back.
Work smarter, not harder.
I got my appearance.
Work smarter, not harder. He get a check. He showed up.
Shoot. Exactly. Anyway. We're going to move on. No Lana, though. So, interesting.
Well, she has no place.
She doesn't.
When he's going to the ring.
Well, he just deciding.
Yeah.
He deciding.
But, like, she don't manage him anymore. So, she has no reason to be there.
We don't know that they dropped that yet. Like, if
he literally told her, do not manage me. They're married still. She just don't manage. That's over with. She shouldn't be out there to the ring with him no more.
Good. You know, I think that's for the best. All right, we're going to move on to a very, very good match. And I was thoroughly enjoyed. First of all, let's go back and talk about the pre-show and how Tamina had this nice promotional.
She put that on Twitter. Or it was on the bump one. But either way it goes.
They showed it on the pre-show.
Yeah, I know they showed it on the pre-show. I'm not talking, but I'm saying before they showed it on the pre-show. You know, pre-show don't show nothing new is my point.
No, they don't.
So what I'm trying to tell you is it was on the bump originally or something like that. Twitter. Either way it goes, it was nice. Nice to see them adding to her character. I wish they did it a little bit more on television, but, you know, if you watched and you paid attention, you got to see this nice little clip of Tamina basically explaining that she's not, the only thing she's not good, she's actually happier. She tried to be happy before. Like, you know what I mean? Before she, you know, she's been labeled as this mean character. But now she got some new catchphrase that I understand. I'm with. And then she said it with a smile, which is, you know, it just lets you know what a smile can do for you. It can send you mixed messages. But she said it with a smile. No one's meaner than Tamina. And I'm just happy that she finally got something that they can latch on to make
a
storyline. Yeah, they should. I think it's cool to have something, man. Because Tamina, like they said, Michael Cole kind of mentioned it, like the stops and starts in her career. You never really got to see what Tamina can do because she started in an era where you had the Eve Torreses and the Kelly Kellys. No offense to them, but that they weren't focused on wrestling-wise. Then, you know, around the time the Revolution was happening, I don't know if that was the time she needed to go be a mother, or was that the time she was injured. Either way it goes, she's had a lot of stops and starts. And then when she ever was starting, it was usually just to be someone's security or someone's bodyguard.
Right.
And, you know, so it's good to see her in this spot. And the match was really, really good. Her and Bayley put together a nice story, you know, Tamina being strong and powerful. They had taken working on the leg. And then, you know, Tamina making that one mistake, which was paying too much attention to Sasha. Like, she would have left Sasha alone. Like, when Sasha backed off out of the ring when she was about to, you just pin her there. Pin Bayley there, you can win the belt. But no, you know, Tamina made that one mistake, chased Sasha, and they ended up costing her. And, you know, still, I love the match. I like how good they built up Tamina. I want to see more of, not just, like, her doing things, but I just want to see more of her involvement. I don't want her to fall back into, you know, being someone's bodyguard. I want her to be a force on her own. Like, I don't care what anyone says. I remember they were partners, and they make a great force as partners. But I can see if you build up Nia right, if you build up Tamina right, I can see her. You can put her against Nia in a nice program that they both will enjoy. I thought I could. That okay? It is cut off. I heard it. You guys didn't hear it. You didn't hear that message alert, did it? Okay, cool. So it's just me. Great. All right, just trying to make sure. I'm going to keep hearing them, apparently. Either way it goes, no
Either
problem.
Either way it goes, it was a great match. It does play into that overarching storyline that Bayley can't get it done without Sasha's help. Or, you know, Sasha's been, like, important for Bayley to continue winning like she's been winning. And, you know, Sasha's going to get tired of it sooner or later.
Oh, yeah, exactly. It plays in that story. And then also something as simple as now that Bayley is beginning to claim that she's the best women's champion that they've ever seen around that place, I can see Sasha make a face when she said it. So, like, they're not being really they're obviously going to – it's going to come to a head at some point, obviously. And that's the reason why I think they didn't – that's the reason why Tamina didn't really have a chance of winning, because there's a bigger story going on with Bayley and Sasha. But I just want more involvement out of the other gals on SmackDown in general. So I can't wait to see where they go next. And I'm happy to see a different person have a good performance to me, if you see what I'm trying to say. Like, Tamina, someone that I didn't know really where to place, because I've seen a lot of people say a lot of stuff, but honestly, in my opinion, like I said, haven't been able to see her enough consistently to have a opinion on where she is as a worker or whatever, you know. But I think they put together a match that made her look really good.
Yep, we on the Tamina train now.
Yes, yes, we are.
Then we had Braun Strowman versus Bray Wyatt. Not The Fiend, just Bray Wyatt. Lovable, jovial, funhouse Bray Wyatt. Things took a lift. Like, the first puppet that popped out scared the crap out of me. Was not ready for that.
It was my Huskies? Wasn't it Huskies?
It was Huskies.
Yeah, Huskies.
Not ready for that at all. So they kind of made it slightly cinematic.
Yeah, it had some elements of, like you said, being cinematic, but it was mostly still in the ring for the most part. They also did a great job of incorporating the story that we wanted. Like, it was more than just a match. It was like, you know, Bray wants him to come back. What I got from the story was that Bray is trying to save Braun Strowman from The Fiend. The Fiend wants the Universal title. Bray Wyatt only wanted the Universal title because he wanted to keep that. He called it a burden because he's trying to save Braun Strowman from fighting The Fiend. Because from a couple of sentences that he started while he was having that, before Braun Strowman, you know, was giving him the power slam and all of that, you can tell. I mean, that's the story I got from it. I could have been reading it wrong, but from what I got from it, he's trying to save Braun Strowman from fighting The Fiend because The Fiend wants that belt. And since Braun Strowman has the belt, The Fiend will not take it easy on him. He will not.
No, he will not give him another chance.
Right.
To join into the like, party.
The Fiend will. Yeah, exactly. You're dead to him. You're dead to him. Or you don't matter to Bray once The Fiend gets on you, is my point. Like, Bray cared about Braun Strowman, so that's why he tried to come out and embrace him and do all of that. And I liked it. I think it was the right decision to make him lose. And honestly, I don't think The Fiend has to get him Friday. I think The Fiend can put it off. They can make The Fiend stalk around, show little signs that The Fiend is coming for Braun Strowman while he involved with someone else, if they have anyone else to put in that spot. That's pretty much the problem. No, not yet. Not right now. They're both supposed to be babyface. Braun Strowman has not turned completely heel yet. So I don't know, you know, I don't know exactly who. I think they're going to need a heel. So, I don't know. So, a heel to throw in there. I hope not Dolph. I'm trying to think. They're so low on bad guys on SmackDown that I can think of, like, world champion contender bad guys. Cause that's the reason why they went with The Fiend, whether they want to admit it or not.
It's true.
So does that mean Braun got to go to Corbin?
Oh God.
But Corbin probably still got this thing with Elias since Elias cost him. So.
Stop spoiling stuff.
At this point, if you haven't heard, you know, we'll get to it again anyway. It's soon. It's like a match after this, a couple matches. So, anyway. Great match. I enjoyed it. The story was good. You know, I'm not saying any of these were like Matt classics, any of the in-match, even though I did like Drew and Seth's in-ring work. But the storytelling of this match was cool. I liked it.
Cool. Speaking of Drew and Seth, they had a match.
A pretty lengthy competitive match.
Seth debuted a new song, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's a right. It fits.
It does.
It fits. Having Burn It Down screaming in the background and that awesome rebellious type music didn't really fit his new high and mighty.
Conform to me.
It didn't really fit his new high and mighty character. So, yeah. I like the new song. Also, like, besides just how good the match, we also noticed that this quarantine is having an effect on body hair. Braun Strowman, that was my first time. Braun Strowman has ripped off that shirt many times.
Yep.
And this is my first time seeing all of that chest hair. Pause. But I'm just letting you know. Yeah, I can tell these brothers usually getting waxes and, you know, stuff closed, so they can't. Right. You know, even Seth Rollins had a little bit more body hair than usual. But it is what it is. That was just a little small detail I noticed. The match was cool. I liked it. They went back and forth for a while. It was a nice story. Seth taking out the legs of the big guy. It felt like one of those Bret Hart matches when Bret Hart would fight like Undertaker or something, and Bret Hart would just destroy a leg. And it wasn't necessarily like to that extent, but that's what it reminded me of. You know, a smaller guy taking out the bigger guy's leg, and you know, and dominating the match as a heel that way. That was cool. But Drew, like I said, unstoppable comeback. And I don't know what move is more over post L5 because nobody kicks out of that other than, you know, those two guys who fought in that match, obviously. I don't even know if Self ever kicked out of it, though. Did he avoid it or not? I don't know. Either way it goes,
he probably kicked out of it before, though,
because him, you know, they only wore that pleasure to Roman and him and now Drew.
If you remember, like, the build for WrestleMania last year, like, Brock F5'd him in the ring and
he kept getting up or something, right? Yeah, he kept getting up. Yeah, okay, I kind of remember that. Cool. But anyway, the point I was making is they putting that Claymore up there with that move. Like, you take one or two of those, it's over. Really one. But yeah. Right. Like, I loved it. Like I said, again, a babyface who's dominant and who's finisher, like, it's just been a long time since, like I said, the last person I can think of who really was presented that way was Stone Cold. And that just, Stone Cold was, like, you can go back to prime 98, 99 Stone Cold. He was not losing. Mm-hmm. He was taking out everybody. Y'all remember those 100 stunners and some segments? Like, he was taking out everybody. And that's what I feel like they're doing with Drew. I feel like Drew can, if they had, like, a big brawl with this roster, Drew would be kicking everybody. Like, he'd just be jumping through with Claymore. Because,
I mean, he don't necessarily need the running start.
Right, he don't necessarily need it, but you know once he gets started. And then it's funny when you think about that great move was on accident with 3MB. He got that move on accident when he was working in 3MB. Yep, just because his pants were tight. Like, that's dope.
It is hilarious.
It's a great story. But anyway, great to see the champ retain. And they shook hands after the match. Seth looked confused. You know, Drew showed him great respect. It was a great match. I understood why Drew would want to do that. But what's going to happen now with Seth? Is this where Seth, you know, takes off and it's break time? You know, because of that handshake, does that lead Seth to go and just rethink what's going on?
Do you have to regroup?
Or you know, is he going to be, you know, is he going to come back and say some more? And are they going to keep this going? Like, I want to know where it goes.
They need to buy this.
That's my point. That's why I don't know. I felt like, I remember before all of this stuff happened, Seth was talking about taking a break after Mania or something. Right. They were talking about those guys taking a break. Kind of like what I think Becky is doing under the radar right now. We'll see tonight. That's the beauty of this wrestling thing. It keeps going.
All right. Can y'all hear me rub my hands together? I'm doing like my Birdman face, like all of it.
They heard that.
Cool. It's time to talk about these Money in the Bank matches. First of all, let's talk about the women's. They were indeed intertwined, so they happened at the exact same time. And they occasionally bumped into each other. There was one brawl that we'll talk about in a second. But just a recap, Shayna Baszler, Carmella, Nia Jax, Asuka, Dana Brooke, Lacey, because she going to lose her last name eventually. I already feel it.
Right. Ooh, Lacey? It won't just be a Lacey. You can't just have Lacey. Lacey! You need something. Lacey Von Air, but like, you know.
Have you heard them say her last name
Lacey
often?
Like, the Southern Belle, Lacey Evans.
Like, in matches. They call her Lacey. In matches. They don't even say Evans. They just say Lacey.
Or they just say the Sassy Southern Belle.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Cole.
That last name.
First of all, Michael Cole loves nicknames. Anyway, he can avoid to say your name. I guess he's seen so many wrestlers come and go. He's like, man, I ain't got time to memorize these names.
Right.
And then when I talk to you backstage, you got a different name because that's your government most likely. Right. You know what I mean? Come on, man. But yeah, so that's why Michael Cole loves. It's balls time. He loves stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it was great. This, go ahead, keep going.
Okay, so early on, we assumed that Asuka should win because, first of all, she got on the elevator.
Right. The smartest move, by the way. She started off on top. First of all, she started off a level above everybody. And then
She jumped off,
then rushed to the elevator. Like, I was like, okay, she should just win by default. First of all, she is the most, like, all right, Jim Cornette is going to hate this match no matter what because it's just killing the business, right? But if you want to talk about some wrestling psychology, Asuka is the smartest one on both sides, men and women. She was the only one who seemed like they were trying to get up to the roof at the beginning. Because, you know, I know the other rest of the girls kind of got, you know, shocked by getting, you know, the splash or whatever. But the other guys just started fighting, you know, and it was chaos, which it should be, of course. But, you know, I just felt like she was the only one until Aleister Black later on in the match realized, hold on, everybody fighting? Let me slip off. Right. And he slowly snuck right. off.
And then later on, I literally.
Besides trapping AJ under the weight.
I literally screamed at the TV because Baron Corbin, they were in the conference room, right? And he had got ahead.
Right.
And I was like, go to the roof. He said, I'm going to the roof.
Right. Right after she screamed, somebody go to the roof. He was like, yep, heading to the roof. See? So, like, come on. Like, at the end of the day, we needed some psychology there. Like, I needed you to tell me, like you need to be trying to get to the suitcase. But it was cool. Eventually, the other girls caught up.
Right.
The food fight took place. Yeah, it's just kind of like what did I skip? I'm skipping some stuff. It's so much. Please go. If you got the network, or if you don't, it's free. Do whatever you can. Sign up. Please go watch this match. It was that great. Same thing we said about the other two cinematic matches, but I mean it this way. Go ahead. What you about to say, though?
So, all of the women, not Asuka, they ended up finding themselves in a conference room, and it was like a fake money in the bank.
Or like just a suitcase with money. So, hopefully, she got to keep that money.
Hope Dana got to keep that money.
Right. I don't know what made her think she had won, first of all, because they've been telling you the entire time. Weeks. The roof.
Dana, the roof.
not the roof of the conference room or the Money in the Bank conference room, ceiling. Like Stephanie told her. Stephanie, I don't know where, first of all, I don't know why all these people was at work.
The janitor.
It's nighttime, supposedly. HQ. Well, you know, Vince is believable. They say Vince, you know, you would never leave sometimes. Like, they say he would be there. Yeah, he don't sleep. That's what they say. But, you know, I don't know what Laurinaitis was doing here. I don't know. The janitor? That was so random, by the way. Some fake Bruce doink Pritchard? Or whatever. Yeah, Brother Love, what are you doing? What's Brother Love doing here, man?
I have no clue. Coming out the bathroom.
His face tan or whatever will always disturb me. Because his hands are always normal color. But that face, whatever he do, makeup, whatever it is.
Paint
is always going to be disturbing. But, anyway. Just those are the nice little cameos we got to see. I love it. AJ Styles got PTSD from being buried. He saw a picture of The Undertaker and was absolutely terrified. I love that moment. Of course, I mentioned the Vince cameo earlier, but again, AJ Styles was hilarious. Him and Daniel Bryan are fighting into Vince's office. And then the next thing you know, Vince, you know, is like, get out. Like, what are you doing in here? Like, Vince is like everybody else. You need to be on the roof. Why are you here? Like, I feel like that's why he was telling them to get out. Like, he knew they should be fighting. But, like, bro, I left it on the roof. That's what Vince said. I put it on the roof. Why are you fighting here?
Everybody wanted them to go tear up his office. Like,
you know. Everybody was talking about that moment. That's what I like about how they messed the chairs up. Then they had, let's put this back together.
Right.
let's get the chairs in order. And Daniel Bryan with the New Japan bow. Like, that's what usually you see them bow to their senseis or to the crowd. He did a bow to Vince, which is hilarious. And AJ talking about he was a coward, even though AJ's the one suggested they fix the chairs.
And then it was like, you're right. Let's fight. Okay.
You're right, man. Oh, back to the fight. Like, it was just great. Like, hilarity. This whole entire match was just full. It was full of comedy, full of just like, oh my goodness moments. Like, what is going on? Mm-hmm. Like, you were on the phone at the beginning of the match with your sister.
My siblings.
Right. Yes, both of them. Yeah, everybody was on the phone, huh? Yeah, more than one at least.
More than one.
Yeah, so she was on the phone with one of the siblings, and I was screaming through the entire conversation. I don't know how she could talk because it was every second, it was like, oh.
That's why she told me, I'll talk to you later.
Right, she had to hang up because she knew I wasn't going to shut up because the match just started going crazier and crazier. And then, like I said, we got to get to the food fight somehow because
that's when people got taken out.
Oh man, Paul Raymond still. Yeah. This is the last Carmella sighting, by the way.
And Dana.
Who moonwalked out of the conference room we talked about earlier because she prevailed because she broke a picture over Dana's head.
A picture of herself.
A picture of Carmella, by the way,
holding the Money in the Bank contract.
Okay, that's beautiful. I didn't even notice those little details, but that's perfect. So he broke the picture over her head, left everybody else down, moonwalked right into a woman's right by Lacey Evans. So that was perfect. And then Lacey runs to the they all start running towards the elevator, right? This is when we end up. No, I'm skipping the food fight again because I talked about Ray.
No, you're right.
I'm right. That's what they end up. So
that's what they met up the after first the food time. Fight?
Oh, yeah, you're right. That is where they met up. Oh, God. That just shows you how much this match took me through.
How much chaos.
Yeah, this match was just so chaotic. I can't even recap it right. But anyway, back to, like I said, the last Carmella sighting, she got put through a table. Rey Mysterio got smashed by Nia.
And choked out by Shayna first.
First of all, yeah, for some reason, Shayna Baszler just said, hey, Rey, just whoop, straight. It's not the Coquina clutch. I'm sorry, Joe. What is she called? They don't even call it nothing for her, do they?
It's just a rear naked.
It's just, whatever it is. She choked her out. Carabuda clutch is what they call it for her. Yeah, so anyway, it's just a rear naked choke, really. But yeah, like you said, choke poor Rey out, and then he gets smashed by Nia and
Otis
at the exact same time. And just like I said, poor Rey.
Why would they run into each other?
Right, poor Rey. And then at the end, after Nia put her through the table, and Otis was finished with his sandwich, or still eating his ham sandwich, or whatever it was, they stared at each other and just said, I'll see you at the top, I guess. They didn't say it, but that's just how they looked at each other, like, all right, moving on.
Yeah.
And then, you know, so Otis found Pi after that, and then that's when they started to lead up to the roof at some point, and because, like, I'm waiting to get to this point. So first was up to the roof, you're was so like waiting.
Oscar was the first.
Right. She was, which made sense, by the way, because she was running. Like, she didn't even stay to fight mode. She threw like one kick to Shayna in like the hallway and took off.
Exactly.
And did everybody else. First of all, Shayna, her last spot in the match made sense for why she was gone, because she got kicked by Oscar, she got hit by Lacey Evans, and then I think Nia hit her too or something. Like, everybody dropped her, which is what I wanted. I wanted somebody to jump her.
Right. I think it was the other way around, because it was like she got hit by Oscar, then Nia hit her.
Then Nia, and then Lacey with the woman, right? And then I don't think we saw Shayna anymore.
Nah. Like,
so that's what took her out.
Dropping bodies on these levels.
Dana was chasing after them, and she slipped on a wet floor. We never seen her again. Poor Dana. Not looking at the wet floor sign, I guess. But but anyway, Oscar beats them up basically to the ring. They do a little work together in the ring, you know, a couple spots here and there. But at the end of the day, somehow Oscar was about to win it after laying everybody out.
Baron Corbin.
I don't know why he was. He could have just let her get hers. He didn't have to wait, but he could have just not did it the way he was doing. He was shaking the loud, and I guess that made Oscar mad, because Oscar's like, no, you get out the way. So she kicks Baron Corbin down. By the way, we did have a couple of, like we mentioned with Shayna, we had a couple of little intergender spots, which was dope, which was something we've been begging for a while. You know, it wasn't much, but it was cool. But anyway, Oscar, after kicking him off, pretty much had it won at that point.
She did. She
so she won it, and I was like, we both was, come on, we just got it. I patted myself on the back, literally. That was a loud pat, because I wanted y'all to hear it.
And you don't have a shirt
And I don't have a shirt on. But also, yeah, I was just hyped. Of course, I'm happy when Oscar wins, you know.
Right.
And I couldn't believe it, but I'm happy. It makes a lot of sense. It felt like they were rewarding her for being the person who'd been on every show. I promise, I don't think she's missed a Raw.
She has
at least.
And then at the beginning, you know, she was on SmackDown too.
That's what I'm saying. On that first show, she was on both shows. So yeah, exactly. So I think they're finally rewarding her for not only just being here for quarantine, but also being here through quarantine, but also maybe a little bit of that nudge for putting Becky over and putting people over for something. Like, on big stages, they've asked her to lose. So it's nice to see her on a big stage, even though it's not Mania. Nice to see her win. And this also, in my opinion, can guarantee her another reign, which is always what I want. That's what I've been waiting for anyway. So hopefully it's Becky's belt. And I don't know how they're going to do it or how it's going to work.
It's the same
brand. So, yeah, you got to stick to the same brand. So, yeah, exactly. So, yeah, hopefully she catch Becky lacking somehow. They're going to meet face-to-face tonight, which is the way they promoted it last week. So we're getting that rekindled, which I'm always happy because I love Oscar. I love Becky. So hopefully Oscar just, you know, get in her head a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like she's always doing.
Right, just get in her head and make it seem like, ooh, I'm coming for you. Like when you least expect that I'll be there. Right. That's what I want. But anyway.
All right, going into who won the men's.
No, before I get to that exciting finish, Baron Corbin murdered some people.
Yeah, Baron Corbin.
So I guess he was mad at what Oscar did to him or whatever. Yeah. So he's like, I can't do nothing to the women. That match is over. They're out the way. So I'm just going to murder poor Rey Mysterio and Aleister Black right after each other. He did it with no remorse.
He didn't even make a face. He was just like, oh, you going to run at me?
Oh, yep, here you go. And here you go too. You go down with him. And then what I like about it is the most is what we maintain. He is a man of his word. He was the first person to say that somebody will be flying off this building. Besides me, of course, because I told y'all when I heard the idea that somebody will be falling off of HQ. So I hope we have some planned funeral ceremonies. Or at least Rey Mysterio and Aleister Black just won't be on TV for a while. Like I said, I don't know where they are on the bodies side of the game. I don't know where they think, you know, what I don't know where they think they are, what was going on, how they're gonna write themselves out of that. Because honestly, all I know is Aleister Black better not pop up here
tonight.
Even though I guess you did make a point of him being supernatural, I just don't want him to pop up having a normal. He just come up and have a squash match like ain't nothing happened.
Yeah, like he just didn't get tossed off the.
Right. They please do not pull the Elias where you can fall off something and just be cool. Shout out. Speaking of Elias, great segue, by the way. I hope Rey Mysterio, I hope that's not how we end Rey Mysterio's career. That's not a good way to end the run. I do not want to be my last memory of one of the best wrestlers ever to be him flying off a building. They obviously had things to help him, though. I actually heard the little pad again, too. So if they did fall on something, they fell on the pad or, I heard like the sound that sounded like that pad, though, after they fell. I don't know. Maybe they did that. I don't know. Either way it goes.
Even if you fall on a pad, you pretty much dead from that high.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why I don't think it was down. What I'm saying is it's like something. They could have had a scaffold, anything right there where they can land on it.
Okay.
And then get up and then pull them back on top of the roof and the scene is shot, if you see what I'm trying to say. Right. That's what I assume happened.
Okay.
But anyway, great little moment there. Great callback. Like I said, a lot of continuity on this show. A little nuggets of continuity, because it was nice to see Elias pop up completely out of nowhere. I honestly think he was waiting on the roof.
Yep.
That's my only explanation. He had to have been just chilling up there. Just waiting because he knew Baron Corbin would get up there eventually.
Right. I know you in this match, please. Right. You think I'm going to let you win?
Since he can't legally win it, he just caught measure. Baron Corbin didn't win it. AJ Styles had it in grasp, right?
Butterfingers.
And it just right into my boy Otis. I can't believe it. You talking about I was so happy when I saw that. It's just like, it's because like, he was the one guy. Him and Rey Mysterio were the two people that I, even in like some people, opinions I respect about wrestling, like Brian Zane and people on YouTube, a lot of people was like, those are the two people you know won't win.
Right.
And look and then, who won.
And then they really threw us off because it was like, okay, Otis can't climb the thing. He's
right.
He's too heavy.
They tried to make it seem like he's too big to ever climb. So we're like, oh, he definitely don't have a chance of winning now.
Right.
And then it falls right into his hand. And he was like, and then, like, to see him, he said something about me. He mentioned Mandy. Look at me, Mandy. Or, well, this for you, Mandy, or something like that he said. It was just, it's just dope. I can't believe it. Part of me is thinking, though, that I don't know how well his cash-in can go. Somebody made a good comment on Twitter talking about, please don't cash in on the tag team titles. I know you love Tucker, but don't do that. It will be the first time ever. And that would be extremely unselfish.
Would be unselfish.
But no, he shouldn't do that. He should hold on to it. And, you know, hopefully we can get an Otis Universal title run, man. That'd be great.
It'd be hilarious.
Now, worst case scenario, though, I'm also hearing that it may be only a setup just for him to put it on the line for Dolph to take it. And I'm just like, please. Aww. Because we know Dolph won't win. Like, Dolph will cash it in and look. And even if he do win, it just won't even be believable for me to him to be world champion, even if he did it in a slime ball way. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So just let Otis keep it, in my opinion. If they fight for it, sure, but let Otis win. That's the way I see it. And that should be a good way to end his stuff with Dolph. He don't need to be messing with Dolph no more. He got the girl, if you see what I'm trying to say.
He did.
So, like, him and Dolph's beef should be done. But anyway, great pay-per-view, great ending, great another awesome cinematic match. Whoever's been editing these things, whoever's been coming up with these ideas on how to put these matches together, they have been doing a great job. They hit all three of them out the park. And honestly, it's funny because they didn't have the best start to this whole cinematic thing. You remember that Randy Orton Bray Wyatt match?
Yeah.
Which is like their little first
House of
creep into it. Yeah, that first creep into the cinematic thing. They didn't seem like they really knew what they were doing. But they've hit these out the park. I don't know if it's just circumstances or just, you know, whatever it is. They're doing a good job, and I really enjoyed it. And I don't even know how you can top it. Like, it's crazy to me. Like, should Money in the Bank be that type of crazy match every year. Like, that's like that's how good it was. I don't want them to overdo it, so maybe not. But still, like, I would like to see. It felt so different than anything I ever seen. I just enjoyed it. So, it was a great pay per view. I had a good time. What was your overall opinion? And after that, we can head out.
We gotta go to the rumors.
We doing. We got. What about the show tomorrow? You gonna have a rumor tomorrow?
They post rumors every day.
Then why? See, this is what I don't understand. Why this is supposed to be a reoccurring segment on Streamline episode? This is just a pay per view review. No, that's fine. You got rumors. Let's go to the rumors.
Gossip Corner, but you didn't even let me get my take on the show.
That's included in the rumors.
All right, fine. So, now. Dave Meltzer put out an Observer newsletter stating that Otis, the character, is really liked by Vince McMahon. That's why, like, everything that you've been seeing about Otis, the character, Vince has allegedly a lot of hands in.
Hands in on the Otis, what'd you say?
Otis yeah, character.
Just in general.
Just in general.
So Vince.
He likes the character of Otis.
Oh, that's dope. I'm good. That's cool. I'm glad he do like it because I love Otis too. So yeah. That's that. It really proves it. You know, booking him to win the match. Like, that's a big deal. Like,
it is.
Like, they made sure they drilled this stat into your head about 80%, but it really is true. You pretty much guarantee a world championship most of the time. Like, you can count, like, on one hand the amount of people who didn't cash it in.
Yeah, that's because they was being stupid and trying to have, like, front-on matches and not be opportunistic.
Well, yeah, Sandow was a pretty foolish one.
John's
was foolish. Poor Mr. Kennedy. His was unfortunate. And also Baron Corbin. Yeah, that was just you know what? Like you said, he messed up too because, you know, the timing of his. He knew John Cena didn't like him.
He did.
And he went out there anyway, like John Cena didn't have a chance of costing him. Didn't have a chance of costing him. But yeah, either way it goes, it shows that Vince really, really likes it. Based on how this storyline goes, like most of the time, I told you, that's why I'm so happy about it, because usually the guy don't get the girl in WWE storyline. Usually, you know, a guy who looks like Otis and, you know, whatever it is, whatever you may think of him as a character or whatever, or his looks wise, those guys are not the guys who get the hands-on, you know what I mean, love from Vince historically. I think it's dope that...
Agreed.
That they focusing on Otis that way. And I think it's deserving because he's a freak of nature, man. Like, I've seen, like, his working out. Like, he don't look like it, but get on his Instagram and watch him lift. You seen it last night with the deadlift stuff. He did that. He put that on AJ easily, and that was a lot of weight. I know AJ wasn't really in danger, but still, like, picking it up like he did and just dropping it like it was nothing. Like, that's a lot of weight.
It is.
And Otis does it easily. So, yeah, he's a freak. Love it.
We can only assume that AJ did the limbo and got from under there.
Oh yeah, yeah. Or cameraman just said I felt sorry for him.
He's like, true.
Like, this
true.
Dude can't even breathe and I'm still recording this. I feel like a sick freak. Exactly. I gotta help him.
WWE does not know who the hacker will be.
They still trying to figure it out themselves. I like that. Good. I can tell by the way they booking it. That's the reason why it's so wide open. Like, he's focusing on the women's division and tag teams and, you know, Sheamus and Jeff showed up on the screen last night, all types of stuff. So yeah.
All right. Yeah,
so, and I like that. It's obvious.
WWE sent out a survey trying to make the empty arena shows more appealing to fans. So, do they want fan and celebrity reactions inputted through video? Like, you know, like, call in or whatever. Do they want wrestlers to be in the stands acting as the crowds? And do they want more cinematic elements being incorporated? Were all, like, things that they gave the fans options for. I don't know what will happen, but, you know, it's just a survey, so we'll see if they took heed to that. And we'll look more into that tonight. Also, Nia Jax was supposed to win the WrestleMania Women's Battle Royal, but, you know, we didn't have that this year, so she might really be the next contender for Becky.
Okay. I like that. That's what I'm saying. That's what I want. I'd rather Nia or somebody else step in. other than Shane and them. Maybe even Nia would be a perfect person for Asuka to tease it. Like, because, you know, Becky can take so much damage in the match that look like Asuka can, like, play her song and make it seem like she might come out there and do it. I just want them to, like, take their time with it. Make sure the time is right. Cash-ins always work better when you time it right.
Right, after somebody's exhausted and they don't have the capacity to do anything.
Right. I mean, I just showed you the clip last when Bayley posted her cash in. It was the perfect. It was the same night she won it, but it was the perfect time.
Perfect time.
Because we were tired of Charlotte. Charlotte had just, took the belt again.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't want Charlotte to have that reign. So it was perfect for Bayley to come in and swoop in. So it's just all about timing.
Yep. And just to rehash on my thoughts of the pay-per-view, it was fantastic. I really, really enjoyed it. The right people won. The matches like,
yeah, I don't think I was mad about any decision.
No, like most of them were retained titles, but the right people won, and except for Bobby shouldn't have won that.
Oh, so, by the way, Tom Brady, R-Truth is coming for you.
He is.
I don't know why. Tom Brady, I didn't think Tom Brady had the belt.
He don't.
You know what made me mad? Somebody pointed out on Twitter. That's a good point. Caleb Braxton should not have to explain the joke. Or whoever, Charlie Caruso should not have to explain the joke. Once he said Tom Brady, we all knew he meant Rob Gronkowski, okay?
Yeah.
But it's okay. You know, sometimes they feel like we're idiots.
Did you hear Kayla's questions yesterday?
She did ask one question. Oh, the question to Sasha and Bayley was out of pocket.
Yeah.
That was out of pocket, man.
And
she
then
had
Michael
to do that.
Cole talking about, well, Bayley could have let her answer.
By the way, I love this underlying storyline of Michael Cole versus Bayley. Bayley is the only wrestler so far who's just like, she knows no crowd there. She hear everything Michael Cole is saying, and she's going to reply. I love it. Everybody else seems to be kind of ignoring Michael, other than Bray Wyatt. Who told them they were doing a good job and they were confused as they should have been, like, he's insane talking to himself. Oh my goodness, there was so many little things from last night that I enjoyed.
That match was after the Bayley match, so you know he talking about Bayley.
Right, you guys are doing a great job no matter what anyone says. My goodness.
Yeah, and then Michael Cole telling Corey, you know, maybe you need to keep your voice down before she start yelling at you. It was hilarious.
Right?
Hilarious.
You know what the beauty of Bray Wyatt's character is also? I feel like he incorporated this, like, the sweater vest is not only an ode to, like, who was that?
Mr. Rogers.
It's not only an ode to, like, that style, but it's also his perkiness reminds me so much of Bo. Like, goodness, they look, like, especially when he do that smile, you start to look alike then. I'm like, oh,
this,
my goodness.
This smile.
Right, when he do it, exactly. It's that look he gives you, and it just reminds me of Bo Dallas. It makes me feel like he took a little bit of that, because Bo was so over the top when he was trying to be a motivational speaker. And that's what it reminds me of.
I miss Bo Dallas too.
Hopefully, too. He didn't get cut, so I'm hoping
he
didn't decide to leave, so I'm hoping they have something planned for him, man. Please do something with Bo. He's Bray Wyatt's flipping brother. Like, give him something. Like, come on, man. You can't tell me. I saw the talent many years ago.
Yeah.
So, like, I'll be talking about Pooh, love Mark Jindrak. That's why I am on Bo. I don't care if everybody else think he's a job or the biggest job in the world. Bo Dallas is my guy. He always will be. But anyway.
Agreed. It was just a fantastic, it was very entertaining.
Yes.
I loved it. I couldn't study.
right? It was hard to try to do anything else. Like, it was that entertaining. But anyway, great job. I can't wait to see what they do tonight. Can't wait to see what happens next. We'll be back with our recap of pretty much tonight's show, because SmackDown, for the most part, was still a precursor. We kind of touched on a little bit of SmackDown today. But anyway it goes,
we'll touch on more of it.
We'll touch on more of it. Wait.
Okay, I was going to shout my girl out.
We got to do that tomorrow, so we'll give her a props.
We'll do it tomorrow. I make sure, like, I'm going to open up the show with
this. Y'all can see, son, you can't make the pay-per-view.
Neither did Mandy.
Neither did Mandy. That's a good point. Bye, y'all. It was fun.